So we're going to start in Romans 5, verses 7 and 8. And I guess I want to emphasize this morning, as we're going to do a communion, that we're important to God and that He loves us and He wants the absolute best for us. So in Romans chapter 5, 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And in verse 9, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Verse 10, "For if when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." And so God, if He would give His only begotten Son for us, what would He withhold that we need? Let's go to Luke 11, 11. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask a fish, will he give him a fish?" Let me read that again. "Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" And of course, this is dealing with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But it's in every aspect, God basically tells us that He's going to give us what we need when we need it, and He's not going to fool us. He's not going to give us something terrible that's going to harm us, especially when He commands that we do it. And that's what communion is all about. It's something that's a remembrance of the goodness of God and how important we are to Him, how much He wants us to be delivered in every situation, and that we can have more than abundant life. Let's go to 1 John 4:4. And actually, you don't have to go to all of these. I'm just going to read a quick succession of things. I'm going to read it from here. I'll just go to 1 John 4:4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." So there's nothing in the world that can possibly hinder us from the goodness of God unless we allow it. John 10:10 talks about the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus Christ came that we could have life and have it more than abundantly. In 3 John 2 it talks about how we should prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. And in Romans 8:37, it talks about how we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so that's what I want to emphasize today, that we are worthy of receiving all the blessings of God, not only a direct communication with Him, but also the great healing that's available. And that's why we do the communion service. We can do it anytime we want. A lot of people do it once a year. Many churches do that. Every week, every service. But we haven't done it in quite a while because we just didn't want it to become a habit. We want it to be something very special. And I just saw the need in it being very special. I I was hoping other people would be here today, but you know what? I need healing. Jeff needs healing. I'm not sure what's going on in your life, Fred, but we all can use a reminder that God doesn't want us to be sick. So I'm going to let Jeff turn over. We're going to go probably to Corinthians.
Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 11:23. Communion, or it's also called Holy Communion, is a central practice and theme in Christian ministries around the world. When it is taught rightly and practiced rightly, it is the source of deliverance to God's people. But communion is often taught and practiced incorrectly to the end that God's people are deprived of the deliverance that is rightfully theirs. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, took bread. It's interesting, he even shared communion with a guy that betrayed him. Yeah, talk about love. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And some people teach that the bread and the wine literally become the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. We know that's not true. It's a figure of speech. It's representative. It's a metaphor. It's like, you know, if for lunch we're cooking hamburgers on the grill, and if I eat four hamburgers, somebody might say, Jeff, you ate a lot of food. That would be a simple statement of fact. And another statement you could make is, Jeff, you ate like a pig. Now, that's not literal, because I don't get down on all fours and grunt and go, you know, but it's a metaphor. And that actually, the second way actually is more colorful speech, and it actually maybe describes more, it's a simile, and it describes what I did. And you can also say, Jeff, you are a pig. And that would be a metaphor. And see, a lot of these things in the Bible are figures of speech. And it communicates better. That's why Jesus Christ taught in parables. And that's why a lot of things in the Bible are figurative. And there's also a lot of things like in Genesis that God only gives us partial information, because that's all you really need. You know, he doesn't give you the date of creation. He just says in the beginning. So verse 26, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. For whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Well, you read that and you think, well, gee, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be guilty. But see, this is a bad translation. The words here, unworthy and guilty, are used by some people to beat down and suppress people into condemnation and unbelief. But that word unworthily is anaxios, A-N-A-X-I-O-S, which means out of alignment. So it's basically saying, if you do this out of alignment, you're not going to get the benefit from it. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, so let him eat the bread and drink of that cup. Now, what does it mean to examine? And that word is the Greek word dokimazo. How would you pronounce that, Fred?
I don't know.
Okay, you don't know any better than I do.
Dokimazo,
that's good enough.
Dokimazo.
Yeah. Sounds like a Japanese doctor, right? Dokimazo. And basically what that means is you make an objective assessment. So, you know, when you do communion, you make an objective assessment. You know, are you believing the word? Verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, out of alignment, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Okay, again, this bad translation. So if you eat, if you're out of alignment with the word, then you're judging, people judge themselves to be guilty, and they don't, that's a lot of times why people don't get the deliverance of God's word. They don't think they're worthy. And by the five senses, we're not worthy. There is nothing we can do to become worthy. Jesus Christ made us worthy because his body was broken and his blood was shed. And we, through him, can be worthy. Verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge, verse 31, ourselves, we should not be judged. Again, bad translation. Let me skip down. I've reworked the translation of this. Here's a better translation of these verses. I did this about 20 years ago. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, and took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. For whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup out of alignment or out of fellowship shall be guilty in his own mind of the body and blood of the Lord. See, we're not, God doesn't look at us guilty, but we look at ourselves as not being worthy to receive it. Verse 28, let a man make an objective assessment of himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks out of alignment or out of fellowship judges himself guilty in his own mind, doubting the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many die prematurely. For if we doubt ourselves, we are judged guilty in our own minds and don't receive the promises of God's word. And, you know, we're human. We've all had times where we got ministered to and we got healed, and then other times we got ministered to and didn't get healed. It's because we sometimes slip into the five senses thinking, and we know we're not worthy, but we have to put on what God says. We have to look at ourselves the way God looks at us. When God looks at us, he doesn't look at it, you know, all our faults and all our flesh. He sees the Christ in us, and that makes us worthy, and that makes us so we can be delivered and we can be healed. So I'll turn it back to you, Diane.
You know, I just want us to really remember what God asked his only begotten son to do on our behalf. You know, this was a perfect man, a man who always walked the word, who God was so proud of, his own son, and yet he asked him to do something almost unfathomable, to give up his life when he had such a bright future ahead of him. And he asked him to do that for us. And Jesus Christ knew full well, when he instituted the communion at his Last Supper, he knew full well what he was heading into. He knew he was heading into being beaten beyond recognition as a human being, and he knew that that was going to be for mankind's healing. He knew that when his blood was shed, basically he was killed, he knew that that would be for mankind's salvation, so we'd have eternal life, direct access to God. And he knew that full well, and at that moment, he loved us more than he loved himself. You know, he I can't even imagine doing that, going full well going into it, and then have the presence of mind to say, as he's at the supper, and I want to get to that, I want to read it accurately, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, God, thank you for this bread. That's a remembrance of what your son did for us. He took the bread and he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body. This is a representation of my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I don't want to just take a few minutes to just, you know, just bask in God's love for us and think about a challenge or challenges in your life that you really need deliverance from, because these challenges are not bigger than God. They're not bigger than what Jesus Christ did on our behalf. And we can just speak to those challenges and we can tell them they must go. Any health issues, any financial issues, any worries, they must leave because God is bigger, God is greater. And Father, I thank you so much for all you did for us and will continue to do, and that we can walk through life knowing that everything that is thrown at us can be dispelled by the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for this wonderful remembrance and institution that your Son did for on our behalf, and that we have complete healing in every aspect of our life, eternal life, and direct access to you forever. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.